Good evening and welcome to Amplify, a telephone talk show that looks at life from a religious perspective. I'm Father Ron Lingwin, hoping that you have felt the warmth of God's love in your life this day, but especially the joy you feel when you share God's love with others. As we do each week, I'd like to begin our program with a story that is based on faith and form with imagination, an introduction to our topic of discussion for the evening. A group of women walked up to Jesus, carrying gifts for him. An older woman said to him, "My name is Anna, and these are my daughters and my daughter-in-law. We heard that you were coming, and we knew you would be hungry and thirsty, and so we spent the night baking. Come, let us feed you." Jesus thanked the women and said, "Yes, we are hungry." Anna replied, "And we are hungry for your words, Master." Jesus smiled, and after they had finished eating, Anna said, "Here comes my youngest daughter with water from the well." A young girl, carrying a jar on her shoulder, slowly approached Jesus and then set the jar down. With tears in her eyes, Anna said, "Master, she is a good girl, but she cannot speak or hear. I have prayed in the temple. I have prayed in my home. I have prayed on my way to the market. There are always prayers on my lips that she may be healed." Then Anna asked Jesus, "Will man ever be able to receive from God the knowledge to heal every illness? I have taken her to the finest physicians, but none of them has been able to help her. She still cannot speak or hear, but she is a good and caring person." Jesus sighed and said, "Woman, woman, there are many mysteries in life that we do not understand. But there will come a time when man will have great knowledge to heal the body, the mind, and yes, even the soul with words. Is it time for this young woman to be healed? I cannot answer that. Remember, we are on this earth to learn and to grow in many ways." Then Jesus reached out to the young girl, and when he looked deep into her eyes, a gentle smile formed on her lips. He said, "It is not time for her to be healed." And tears fell from his eyes. Then he turned to Anna and said, "In time, as I have said, there will be great healing upon the earth. Men and women will be able to do great things, but there will also be great destruction and much pain and suffering. Somehow in my heart, I do not believe that the time for complete and total peace will happen soon on this earth." Then he looked down, scooped up some dirt into his hands, rubbed his hands together, and said, "Sin has caused much harm. It has clouded man's heart, mind, and soul." Then he spit on his hands and said, But in time, man will tap into the power of God. But will man do what is right with that power?" A story of faith and imagination. Our guest this evening begins the introduction to her book titled Sacred Wounds and Sacred Revelations with this description of her life. "My beloved ancestors weren't truly free until I decided to tell this story. It is a story that has been a divine conspiracy between God and my American Indian ancestors since long before I was born. My ancestors had tried to get my attention on many occasions throughout my life. They wanted me to take care of some very important unfinished family business that began more than a century ago. Distracted by and focused on less significant things in my life, I couldn't hear their call or see the signs they'd been sending me, that is, until 2011, when my denial of my spiritual roots threatened me so strongly that drove me to consider ending my life. I'd been keeping a secret about who I was, even to myself. The relevance of being born into a family with a legacy of spiritual healing gifts, was lost on me each time I denied connecting to the pain that others silently carried inside, which was most of my life. I knew things. Others might call them otherworldly and metaphysical or spiritual, that growing up in the 1960s in the conservative city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, wouldn't have been popular, even understandable. Sharing these experiences with my peers would have branded me as strange, weird, or outright crazy. Even when I was alone with my thoughts and contemplated what made me so different, I could never fully admit to myself exactly what that all really meant. Partially because I didn't entirely understand it myself. All I knew was that for as long as I could remember, I could never find a place to rest in the world where I could simply be at peace inside my heart. For most of my adult life, I didn't understand why I couldn't settle for a normal life like everyone else, or why I found it so difficult to not pretend and simply be happy. This unrequited force within me created many problems deep down. It made me uncomfortable, constantly questioning who I was and my life purpose. By my mid-30s, I thought I had finally made it in life, including having all the material items I desired, along with a successful career as a director of a large nonprofit that empowered women and girls, and earning a higher salary than I had ever made before. But that still was not enough. While I successfully helped others get their broken lives together, I struggled with each passing birthday to move beyond the entanglement and lingering unwelcome angst that circled the bottom of my own soul. Remnants from my past, many unpleasant and even unspeakable things that happened to me in my younger life, were covered in soot from the searing rubble that I tried to burn from my memory, that I somehow couldn't stop tracking into my present life. Ashen deposits of fear, shame, guilt, severe neglect, and abandonment instigated my attempts to settle for the familiarity of misery, but at the same time heightened my curiosity to investigate where God might be in all this and what I had been created for in the first place. The person who has spoken written those words, is our guest this evening. As a seventh daughter and seventh generation Black Indian woman with inherent spiritual gifts, Deneen Marlette Joyner is adept at accessing wisdom across time and space, channeled from her Native American ancestors' past, the future prophecy, working in both the physical and spiritual worlds to offer others healing through all of her God-given supernatural abilities. Deneen is a sought-after spiritual teacher, spiritual advisor, and transformational speaker whose divine purpose is to lovingly guide others out from the abyss of emotional darkness to retrieve lost parts of themselves and humbly deliver them to the illumination that awaits them on the other side. She holds a BA and MA degree in psychology and adult education and instructional training with an emphasis in curriculum design. She lives with her husband, Don, here in Pittsburgh. They have a blended family of four adult children and one grandson. Deneen Joyner, welcome to Amplify.
Good to be here.
A couple other things that I would add as an introduction that you write in your book that get right to the heart of the matter. You say that this is a story, your book, of what happened to me as a result of coming to terms with more than 40 years of living with a wounded soul, filled up with unresolved emotional pain, and fulfilling the requirements needed to be healed from it. This book will take readers through the evolution of an actual spiritual awakening, using my personal story as a backdrop of what it looks and feels like to go from the point of no return to finding one's calling and divine purpose in life. Amplify to your life just a little bit more. I know that it was a very difficult life. Most of the book talks about your life in order to make the connections at the end, the deeply spiritual connection as to what God wanted you to be and the gifts that God has given to you. In between, abused as a young girl, raped on other occasions, not really loving yourself or seeing much good in yourself, did you, for a long time?
No. I think from an early age, the onset of my depression and just being unhappy started when my gifts started to emerge when I was 5. And I didn't really understand what they were. And they were really frightening because they centered around my ability to be able to sense and feel other people's pain. And so you can only imagine a 5-year-old being around adults and or children and just tapping into that well of, you know, depression and fear that they were caring about something. And I knew that it wasn't mine. I always knew that it was someone else's, but I didn't quite understand why it was that I was able to channel that energy into my own soul, and I didn't know what to do with it.
Tell us a little bit about what you mean by channeling. Our audience may not understand that concept.
Sure. When I say channel, it's basically when I was able to connect and sense and feel. So we all have the ability to sense and connect to another person. It could be a stranger. If you're in an elevator and it's you and another person, you can sense that person's energy. If you took a minute to do that, you know, they're either nervous or maybe they're not nervous, but you can just tap in and you can feel another person's energy. And so that's what I was doing at an early age. I was sensing and feeling unease in other people. And then it started to go a step further with my being able to pick up on some of their thoughts, things that they were struggling with and wrestling with. And I could actually, you know, hear those thoughts. And so that was pretty, pretty frightening for me to be able to do that at the age of 5.
And during the course of your life, you indicated you had been going about everything the wrong way, that regurgitating pain became the internal compass that I unconsciously followed. But later it would become the catalyst that awakened me and changed my life forever. How did that transference occur, that change?
Yes. So I hit rock bottom in 2011, which is what you alluded to in the introduction. There was a series of events that I had stuffed down for quite some time, and it had brought me to a destiny decision of either to continue wearing a mask and being unhappy and contemplating ending my life, which I really didn't want to do, but I felt stuck, and I didn't feel like I had any more answers. But what ended up happening was I received divine intervention, and there was mercy on my life. And there was a shift inside me that made me become more conscious and aware of some questions that I had always posed to God since I was a child, which surrounded my gifts. I wanted to know why they were given to me and what they were for. And I still wanted those two answers, even contemplating my suicide. And I knew in that moment that I really didn't want to commit suicide. I really just didn't know what else to do. And so that shift inside me prompted me to become curious about why I was here and to unravel all of the things that I thought that my life was supposed to be and what I thought that it was supposed to look like. I had to surrender that because those things were the things that got me to the point of wanting to end my life. So when I decided to give up control over my life and to surrender my life to God and ask Him to be my teacher and to show me the things that I had been missing. A new path and a journey started for me. And as I continued to surrender to this journey, I started to realize that the pain in my adulthood was duplicated from what I had experienced in my childhood. For instance, when my father abandoned us, me and my six sisters and my mother, he left us in extreme financial distress. So we went from two incomes to one, and we suffered a lot. So we had a lot of neglect, and my mother was trying to gain financial security, but that took some time. And so we suffered greatly because of that. And there was times when we went without, and there was also times when we were homeless, meaning we no longer had the home that we grew up in. We had to literally go live with family members. Some of these things were duplicated later in my adulthood. On this journey, I started to see a lot of the things that I had been recreating, such as my inability to maintain my financial security in my life, to be able to sustain myself. I was a single parent. That was another thing that I had replicated. My mother became a single parent, and so did I, due to divorce. I also replicated homelessness. So these things started to become more aware to me, the more conscious I started to be about my life, and the more curious I wanted to, I started to become about how did I get to the point of wanting to end my life, and how can I go about unraveling this so that I could truly see what it is that was created and to be able to examine it and start to heal.
And God has a purpose for each of us, right? I mean, we can speak about your gifts that are special, but for our own purposes, in our own life, God gives us the gifts that we need.
Yes.
And so when you write it, you have a journal that you've kept for many years, and they were all filled with much anger. You write self-blame, sadness, and shame, as you've been said, and you ignored what your soul was telling you. You had morbid thoughts that your life couldn't be salvaged, and you believed that the purpose, your whole purpose in life, was to be in constant misery, and that's why you wanted your life to end and failed at attempting suicide at one point, and prayer meant nothing to you. And first you blamed God, and then you gave your life to God, and you've asked God to be your teacher. And that is certainly a prayer that each and every one of us should be asking God. We're going to take our first break, and we'll come back and begin to reach the point of Resurrection Day for Deneen, which was on October 8th, 2014. We'll continue our discussion about her book, Soul Wounds and Sacred Revelation. Welcome back to Amplify, where our guest this evening is Deneen Joyner. We're talking about her book, which is titled Soul Wounds and Sacred Revelations. Her experience in life, after a very difficult life, is that God has given to her through her Native American ancestors many, many gifts that were to come to her so that she could work in both the physical and spiritual worlds to offer others healing through supernatural abilities that had been given to her. And a lot of this, the revelation came about on October 8th, 2014. Deneen, tell us about that particular day and why it is so special to you.
I struggle every time I try to tell this story because it is something that you can only experience. When God delivers you to such a beautiful gift, it is difficult to put into words, but I'm going to do my best.
Sure.
After 3 years of journeying, doing all of the work that I felt was needed in order for me to finally face all of the pain that I had endured in my life since 7 years old, all the way up until my mid-40s, I was delivered to a peace that surrounded my soul. I remember awakening and thinking that I was dreaming because the peace was so beautiful. It was something that I could never even fathom was possible. And I remember quietly getting up and tiptoeing out into my living room, and everything was still dark. It was 3:30 in the morning when this occurred, and everything was quiet. And I just sat, and I thought to myself, you can't be dreaming because you're walking. And so I sat quietly, and I said, just enjoy this. Enjoy whatever this is. And I prayed that it would never leave me, and I just sat there. And while I sat there, I started to feel and connect to many voices. And I didn't recognize who or what the voices were at first because there were so many of them at the same time. And I was trying to discern or listen to one, but there were so many of them. And then finally, there was only one voice. And the voice was so warm and familiar. And I listened and I took a pen and paper and I put the light on. And it was as if my spirit was dictating information to me. And I just wrote down everything that came through. And when I finished writing, I started to read my words. And as I read my words, I started to see that my purpose was revealed to me. Everything that I had endured as far as the pain, the reason why I never felt like I could fit in with anybody, the reason why I always felt like I was never living or meeting up to this invisible bar that was set so high. I just never felt at peace with anything I did. It was revealed to me that I was being prepared to fulfill a century-old soul contract that was linked back to 1892 with that of my great-great-grandmother, and her name was Lucinda. And Lucinda was considered a chosen one of her tribe. And she has fulfilled her life's work on behalf of the Great Spirit and God in 1892. She died when she was 20, leaving behind a daughter and husband. And when she fulfilled her gifts and her life purpose, she asked the Great Spirit, when she returned to the spirit world, if she could return yet again, because she anticipated and discerned that there would be a great need for soul healing in another lifetime. And so with that, she used my vessel to return. And so now I know that I have all of her gifts, her wisdom, all of her abilities and understanding to be able to guide and heal other people who are either suffering with emotional pain or still asleep and unaware that they are suffering.
And so you have come to understand, as you write, that when God believes that you have been prepared properly and are ready, the day arrives when you will become reacquainted with the essence of who you were long before you were born and placed inside your mother's womb. Then and only then, you write, will you become quiet enough to listen and fully remember who you are and be permitted to return home to your God self. Then you will experience a rebirth. Then once you are home, you will be given a holy assignment. Tell us about God self, that concept. What is our God self? And your belief.
The God self is actually who we are prior to even coming in into the earthly world. It is an extension of who we are as far as how God created us to be, our purity, our divinity, our knowing of who we really are, not who we think we are. And so being able to return to your God self as an adult is the best gift that anyone could ever receive. And mm-hmm. it's also a gift to God to be able to remember how he created us to be.
There's no doubt that our lives parallel one another in some ways, but not through the same concepts, maybe. Maybe my concept of God might be different than yours. How is it that you view God? We're speaking here about a mystery to begin with. But when you speak about God, as you do from your particular perspective, as a Native American, how do you understand God?
How do I understand God?
Yes.
I think that everyone has their own relationship and interpretation of what divine is.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really give you a true definition of, you know, of what that is. But all I can say is that I realized since I was 7 years old that there was a God, and I believe in him, and I believe that my relationship with him was formed because of the pain that I was in and the circumstances of poverty and neglect. It led me to seek him. And that relationship has evolved from a child to a woman. And when I was going through my healing journey, I also realized that that relationship had been one-sided, meaning I was seeking God during times of distress and when I was in need. But I never really talked and had that open conversation when things were going well. Mm-hmm. And I never asked for guidance or for any type of revelation. I didn't know that that was possible. I really only thought that I needed him when I needed him, if that makes
yes,
sense.
Sure.
And so, you know, so coming to that understanding for myself, and I think that that is true for everyone, there is, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all relationship. I think that everyone comes to know and understand what, you know, what God means to them. And I think because of that relationship, because of that definition of what you see is what drives you to be able to heal, because that is what led me to heal. My relationship, my evolution of that relationship allowed me to be open, to stay surrendered, to be conscious, to face everything that was put on my path towards healing. So I truly believe that you do need to believe in something, but it doesn't have to be the same thing that everyone else believes in.
Right. No, that's all I wanted to get at, that our relationship with God, about God, because we have certainly as a Christian have a defined relationship of God. And then we,
yes.
What is most important is we come to know God, as you stated, through our relationship. And I have such a day in my life when, and my audience knows this, when after 43 years, I've told this story many times because of the nature of the interview that I was involved in, that God sort of pulled me away from things. And I was in a seminary where there, I don't want to say I was protected, but I was there as the beginning of a process, but I didn't really want to be there, and only decided months before I was ordained. I was chosen, again, chosen not in the sense of more special than anyone else, but,
right.
But among everyone who was chosen by God, or we wouldn't have been brought into life, chosen yeah. to be a priest. But I had to decide that indeed I would really do that.
Yeah.
And that was the struggle to me. And then the gifts that God has given to me, I didn't believe that I would be able to do what God asked me to do through my life.
Yeah.
And nevertheless, here it is, 78 years old, and I have been able to do some of those things. But to get back to you, you write that you were given an answer to your first question, what is the reason for my gifts? And you write that you were told by Spirit that I would be used as God's instrument to awaken others. Tell us a little bit then about the gifts that you believe God has given to you and for which you are responsible and one day, I imagine, would agree with me, will be accountable for.
Yes. So the gifts that I had when I was five, the ones that I mentioned in the opening, as far as having that ability to tap into the energy surrounding people's soul and the things that they were struggling with, that started to become even more powerful as I matured. And to be perfectly honest, when I was going through my life, knowing that I had these gifts, I never knew exactly what they were called. And so once I started on this healing journey, I enlisted myself to look into them. What are they called? What do you have? And so I started to do some research. I started to talk to other people who were gifted metaphysically, and I was able to start to create a list for myself, which started to be a little bit frightening for me.
Yes.
Because I could look at these terms and then also find out what each one meant. And so it boiled down to me being what is called a clairvoyant empath. And clairvoyant empath is a person who has the ability to both feel and sense other people's feelings and also to be able to take those feelings and to be able to interpret it as far as where they have been in their former life growing up and where they find themselves now. So I have the capability for someone to just briefly tell me a little bit about themselves or maybe something they're struggling with in present day, and I'm instantly connected to a lot of the other nuances of their life. And so it provides a blueprint for me, and I'm able to, you know, console them in a lot of ways. I'm able to encourage them, provide hope, and to also empower them because I'm able to tell them, you know, the predicament you're in is only temporary, and it's temporary because you haven't been aware of what you've been doing. Just like I used to be, you know, asleep at the wheel is what I call it.
Yes.
You know, when you're just living on automatic pilot and you're not conscious and aware of what you're creating and how you're duplicating things. And so I have those abilities. And then I also have the ability to be able to visit the spiritual realm. And I'm able to do that through meditation. So I meditate and I received, we talked earlier about channeling. I received channeled messages from the spirit world that has everything to do with emotional pain and its purpose and other types of spiritual experiences that, you know, that maybe people don't really think about or they're not sure what, you know, what it means. So I'm able to interpret different things from the spirit world and bring it into the earthly world and to be able to educate people about how to empower themselves and live a more holistic and authentic life.
And you write that this type of revelation leads to an individual's spiritual awakening or stirring of the soul and the potential to be reacquainted with the brilliant being you were created to be.
Yes.
And that this is all planned by God, and it was your divine purpose. And sometimes when we use that kind of concept, divine purpose, makes someone out to be really special, but indeed we all have a purpose from God.
That's right.
And so there's a sense in which each and every one of us has a divine purpose, don't we?
Yes, we do. We really do. And that's what all of this is about. You know, I can see it clearly now, but, you know, decades ago, I could not see at all. I wanted to, but I couldn't really make the connection. But now that I have walked it, and now that I've been delivered to the other side, and I truly have been able to connect to all of my gifts and understand it, that I'm able to share this with people and get them to see it as well. We have forgotten who we are because we've become distracted by our earthly roles. All of the things that happens to us, good, bad, indifferent, we get distracted by it. And I have to say that we get distracted the most by the pain, either living with it every day and focusing on it or trying to mask it. And both will distract you. And so because we are distracted by all of this, we are moving further and further away from who we are. And so it's my understanding that when pain comes to us in traumatic form, such as hitting rock bottom or whatever it is that basically snaps you out of it for an instant, it makes you pause. It makes you automatically start to take inventory of your life in a way that you haven't before. You want to know, how did I get here? Why did this happen to me? And that is just the beginning of it. And so really, if you can stay with that sense of urgency, wanting to know why, you know, why am I in pain and why am I okay living with it, then that curiosity will start you on a healing journey to uncover all of the things that you need to know about your life.
And so you write that in the days and years that followed since that beautiful morning in October of 2014, I have continued each day learning so much about this spiritual inheritance and the divine role that has been bequeathed to me prior to my divine birth with God's blessing. So the sense that you have been reborn, you write, what I've intimately learned is that there are many who will hear their souls calling upon them to remember who they are. However, only some will actually heed the call and do the work required to heal and return home to their God self. And you speak about it all, that it's been a humbling experience to go from believing that you have no real value, unworthy of happiness, and unimportant to God, to becoming his student and being prepared and delivered to one of the most precious gifts one could ever receive. So we're going to take this break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Deneen Joyer about soul wounds and sacred revelation. Welcome back to the second hour of Amplify, where our guest this evening is Deneen Marlette Joyner. Let me reestablish the program just in case you're joining in. She is the seventh daughter of the seventh generation of a Black Indian woman with inherent spiritual gifts given to her by God. She is adept at accessing wisdom across time and space, channeled from her Native American ancestors' past to future prophecy, working in both the physical and spiritual worlds to offer others healing through all her God-given supernatural abilities. She has both BA and MA degrees in psychology and adult education and instructional training with an emphasis in curriculum design. She lives with her husband, Don, here in Pittsburgh. The time came, Deneen, when you heard about the gifts of your great-grandmother, Lizzie, that she often referred to in the Bible, and you grabbed the Bible off the shelf, and you write, sure enough, there they were, healing powers, healing of the body, mind, and spirit by working in concert with God's will, the spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, of discernment, of intuition, of miracles, and prophecy. These are all gifts that you believe have been given to you?
Yes, I have been given those gifts.
And you can use them for individuals, but as a teacher, you can help all of us, can't you, with that kind of wisdom, if that indeed is coming from the Spirit. And throughout the book, you have a series of sections titled Revelation. What is the significance of those portions of the book?
Yes. So the name of my book is Soul Wounds and Sacred Revelations. The soul wounds refer to the journey that I had from childhood all the way through to hitting rock bottom. The sacred revelations refer to what came to me during that healing journey that enlightened me about emotional pain. There were some that came after my healing, meaning after I arrived at the morning that we spoke of on October 8th, things started to come to me and become more clear as far as emotional pain, why we suffer, and I started to be able to write up this information. It came to me in a different form because it was coming from spirit. So it took me a while to basically decipher exactly what it meant so that I could share it with other people and they would understand it. That took some time. But the sacred revelations are exactly that. They are sacred because they are coming from spirit, and there are revelations that will allow people to become enlightened about their life.
And when you write about emotional pain, in the first hour we talked about how you had experienced that yourself and experienced it also in others, in young women especially, and the fact that your life, you did not know it, but all the pain, emotional pain that you were experiencing was a preparation for what you believe God wanted you to do. And I think if each of us looked at our life closely enough, perhaps with the help of someone like you who's given gifts, we could come to understand that what we experience in life also helps to prepare us for the future. The difficulty is that we get lost, we get stuck in the pain, and because we're wondering why we're going through this, because we don't believe we deserve it, but it isn't that we don't deserve it, it is in itself a gift, so that whenever we speak about good can come from pain, sometimes think that's God talk, and you know, I'm not gonna believe what you're saying, how can good come from this? Because we can't see into the future, we can't see what that pain has done with us is a human person, is a spirit, in terms of how it's opened our heart and mind in ways that perhaps nothing else can open it except that pain, and therefore prepare us to receive even greater grace, even greater love, because when we love others, that love is returned to us.
Yes, so true. Very true. I have to say that for each of us, there is a thread that runs invisibly through our lives, and mine happened to be the emotional pain.
And you refer to that as, that's the sacred thread, right?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. And that thread, for me, I didn't see it, just like you alluded to. We don't see it because we're in so deep, and we're so consumed with, you know, with who we are as human beings, that we are unaware of its purpose. But I always say, just like a diamond is made under pressure, that's how we are made too. The pain is there to mold us and guide us and prepare us for something so much greater. And I now understand that. That's not something that, you know, that I would have been able to arrive at had I not been able to start my healing journey and be open to what it was that I needed to see about myself and about my life and be honest with myself. And I mentioned in the book that I had to break my own heart. And what I meant by that, and I think it's so profound for so many people, we all tell ourselves things that are untrue, that are unkind about ourselves. And it's because we are consumed with so much pain that we don't believe that it's possible to be anything but that. But the truth is, at some point, you have to be willing to break your own heart, meaning you have to stop. You have to stop and understand that you are adding fuel to the fire by continuing to tell yourself the things that are not true about your life. So when you break your own heart, you're basically saying, I no longer will be a victim to my life. Yes. I will be open to whatever God reveals to me, whatever needs to be healed, and I will believe that I'm here for a reason. And when you're able to do that, that shifts the whole trajectory of your life, and it opens you up to free yourself of all of that negative thinking and the things that have consumed you and have kept you stuck. And you're able to think that things are possible.
Tell us about the concept of God's daughters and how that applies to you and your family.
Yes, that was a beautiful revelation that came actually during my healing work. God daughters is my family's legacy. My maternal mother's side of the family, there was a string of women who were the spiritual warriors, prayer warriors of my family. They were the faithful. They believed that our lives were meant to be more than the circumstances that surrounded us. They reminded us the power of God's will and love and purpose over our lives, despite what other people may think. And so these women were the women in my family who kept this alive and also reminded us of who they were. They were storytellers, and they shared these stories with the other women in my family. And so they were coined the term God daughters because they were faithful servants of God.
And the point that's very important here is when you have received a gift from God, if you don't use it, then the possibility exists that it could eventually become dormant or you might even lose it.
Yes. Yes. And that actually happened to my grandmother. She also had gifts. But we believe that she was frightened, just like I used to be frightened of them when I was little. She was frightened of hers, and she never spoke about hers to anyone. And we believe she was afraid of them, and she also was going through depression because she had lost her marriage through divorce. So there again goes the repetitive cycle in my family of having women, you know, go through divorce and be single parents. This was basically a paradigm in my family for quite some time that I was able to see for what it was. And, but yes, so yes, if you are not, you know, if you're not actively seeking and looking to understand your gifts and you allow the fear to take over, they will subside and they will become dormant.
The title of the book is Soul Wounds and Sacred Revelations. Tell us a little bit about the concept of soul wounds. You have a revelation in the book about it, that the soul stands guard as the sole protector of the spirit, and there is no circumstance or life event that can break the spirit despite what we might feel.
Yes, that actually came to me after my healing. All of this, as I shared with you before, as far as my being able to channel spiritual information and apply it, you know, in real time so that people understand it, that came to me that the role of the soul is so many different purposes. But one of the main purposes is that it is the guard. It stands guard in front of the spirit. So there is nothing that can break your spirit despite what people think and feel. The soul also is the recorder of all of our life events. So that recording started even before we came into the earthly realm. So all of the things that, all of our purposes and our what I call soul contract is recorded on our soul. And so when we come into our earthly being, everything has been pre-recorded. And so now, basically, we are asked to fulfill that contract. And again, pain is a part of that because it has everything to do with where we need to go. And it's preparing us for our holy assignment. But you can't get to your holy assignment until mm-hmm. you have been prepared. And unfortunately, pain is a part of the deal. So the soul wounds, as far as the book is concerned, is that. It's that knowing, that connection to our wounds. But knowing that it's not just the pain that is being delivered to us. It's being delivered to us for a purpose and for a greater purpose at that.
And because the soul knows exactly, you write, who we are as divine beings, it recalls what is mentally tucked away beyond our wounds in what is called soul memory. So behind all that is going on, the soul remembers what it needs to remember, and it communicates with both our spirit and the Holy Spirit, and it knows when we're ready to do the work that has been invested within us. God invests love within us. And yeah. It isn't always used right at that moment, but it prepares, it's there for the future when we need it. And you also indicate that the soul asks the Holy Spirit to be on call for guidance should we seek it. And indeed, we need to seek guidance throughout our life, don't we?
Yes. Yes, we do. We do. And I didn't know that. I really did not understand that. And in hindsight, I wish I had, because I would have been calling a lot.
Right, yes.
Yes.
And that's a part of prayer, of course, in our life, which is conversation with God. So you talked about how you didn't pray much earlier in your life as you should have, but you do that now.
Yes.
That's in this relationship. And you write in this revelation, your soul and spirit know perfectly who you are because they do, an internal tug of war ensues between your conscious and unconscious being. You will never fully like yourself until you roll up your sleeves and do the work. Until then, you will continually encounter lessons that will be sent in hopes to force you into awakening, bringing forth whatever needs to be healed and learned. In the end, you only have to acknowledge it to one person, and that person is you. And you did that in the social work in which you were engaged, didn't you?
Yes, yes. I was able to be successful with working with people who were, you know, who were in the throes of emotional pain, overcoming, you know, setbacks in their life. Very successful in helping people. And I know that I was using my gifts then. I wasn't conscious and aware that that's what I was doing, but I truly was using my gifts not to the same extent that I do now, but clearly I was very instrumental in helping people to turn their lives around and give them hope.
Tell us about the importance of mercy, and why don't you combine that, because mercy is the first revelation in the book, but later in the book you talk about the importance of and it's very important, the concept of forgiveness.
Yes. Mercy was the first chapter because it is what was delivered to me that evening in my bathroom when I was standing literally with a handful of pills and a glass of water ready to end my life. And that anger, I had anger towards God. And the anger was because I felt that I had been cheated out of my life. I felt that I had been a woman, a young girl who had been always obedient, always kind and loving, and treated people very well, even those who didn't treat me well. I still treated them well. And, you know, I lived a life that I felt was becoming of a good Christian person. And so I was angry because I felt that God had led me to the moment of me wanting to end things. And I felt that it was unfair. And I felt that I had been set up. And so in that moment, there was anger, but there was also deep sadness because I knew that I wanted more for my life, but I was really, really at wit's end. I really didn't know how to turn things around. And in that moment of just, you know, willing to give up, there was a shift inside me. Because I became curious about those two questions that I posed earlier.
Right. Deneen,
about my gift.
Yeah. If you hold that thought, Deneen, we're going to take our final break. And then when we come back, we'll continue our discussion about your book titled Soul Wounds and Sacred Revelations.
CBS News update. New developments tonight in the battle for Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation as a justice of the Supreme Court. With hearings scheduled for Thursday on an accusation of inappropriate sexual behavior decades ago, the top Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee now wants them canceled. Dianne Feinstein announcing that after two new accusations, one from attorney Michael Avenatti, the other from the New Yorker magazine, involving a woman with whom Kavanaugh went to college. Political analyst Larry Sabato by Skype.
You know, this is really going to be telling because with the first accusation, I think most Republicans figured that they could ride through it and could push Kavanaugh to nomination. But with a second accusation, it's going to be clear what they really intend.
A clue from South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham.
Unless there's something more, no, I'm not going to ruin Judge Kavanaugh's life over this.
He was on Fox News Sunday. CBS News Update, I'm Tom Foti.
Welcome back to the final segment of Amplify, about 20 minutes before we end our program, with Deneen Marlette Joyner, title of the book, Soul Wounds and Sacred Revelations. Deneen, sorry I didn't give you enough time to answer that question. If you remember where you were, and then to say,
that's okay.
Say a little bit about.
I do remember where I was.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So I was just describing the final seconds of my wanting to end my life and the shift that happened within me that made me angry, and then also curious as far as needing the answers that I had always posed to God since I was a young girl about my gifts. And it was in that moment when my social work hat came on and I said to myself, a person who is really ready to end their life would not still be concerned about not having the answers to questions. And when I said that to myself, I became instantly quiet, and I realized that that was true. And I also realized that I didn't want to take my life, but that I had found myself in a moment of being very helpless and hopeless. And in hindsight, I have to say, Father Ron, that being tired of my life and wanting to give up was a good thing. Not wanting to end my life, but just being tired and not having any more coping methods that would have allowed me to continue the cycle of pain that I had been in. Being so tired and just, you know, helpless that I had nothing else to rely on was where God really wanted me to be.
Yes.
So he led me to that moment so that he could take me literally to ground zero, and so that I would need him more than I ever had before, because I didn't have the answers for my life, and I knew that, and I was ready and willing to see myself and to see my life in the way that I always wanted and I always prayed for. And so that was when my journey started, when I surrendered everything and I asked him to be my teacher.
Why is forgiveness so important? You give special importance to it.
I learned that it's not something that you necessarily do for yourself, per se. It's really something that you give to God. There's a lot of things that people will endure in their life, and it just will not make sense ever. You can rack your brain about why something happened or why somebody did something that really, really hurt you or just devastated your world. And at some point, you have to stop, because that is a huge distraction. So you have to come to a place where your peace of mind means more than holding a grudge against someone or just holding on to energy that does not belong in your soul. And so forgiveness is just a selfless act. And you basically give whatever it is. You give it to God and you invite divine in to take away whatever that pain is, whatever it is that you've been wrestling with, that has really been taking that space in your soul, and you give it away. Mm. And you believe that whatever is supposed to happen will happen, and you're able to move on with your life. Now, it's not an easy process. I understand that, because I've been in situations where I have wanted to forgive someone, and then it crops back up. But I also realize that I'm still a part of, you know, holding on to it. So it wasn't really given away. But when you're able to truly give it away to God and say, I forgive whoever, or I forgive a circumstance that happened to me, something happens inside and you will be released from that. You will no longer be a hostage to the event or to that person.
Another revelation of which you write is titled Grace, and you begin by writing that grace is the unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration a virtue coming from God. We've been talking about it, but we didn't identify it as grace. Say a little bit more to us. Amplify on the concept of grace.
Yes. Grace is it's a beautiful gift. It is an element that restores, it preserves, if you will. That has been my experience with grace over my life and enduring things that should have stopped me. But because of that grace that I had that was given to me, yes, I experienced pain and I had setbacks because of it. But because of the grace, I was still able to endure and move forward in my life. Most people who know me will tell you that I've always been a very kind and gracious woman, very loving. And that is because of the grace that has been given to me. I believe that. I have experienced a lot of hardship and challenges, and you've read my book. And, you know, if I wanted to be angry and bitter, I mean, I probably really could have done that. Yes. You know, I could have been given a pass to do that. I had a really, really, you know, challenging life. But I believe because of the grace that has been given to me, that has preserved my heart, my soul, my spirit, that I'm able to still be connected to the deeper parts of me, even when I didn't know what that was.
And so you're able, you write, to arrive at a place of acceptance of your father who had abandoned you, and you found out why later.
Yes.
And you were able to view him objectively as a person who deserved forgiveness instead of the father you never had. And you write, suffice to say that I had been unconsciously attracting men who would validate my belief that I wasn't worthy of a loving, long-term relationship, and that men don't stick around. The few that God had actually sent my way, I totally ignored or pushed away, knowing unconsciously that they wouldn't hurt me or give me the painful validation I was after. I'm not good enough, that's why men always hurt and leave me, was a plot line in my former story. And it goes back to your father, and you learned out something very important as to why he didn't stay around, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did. And it was really a very, I guess, powerful blow, you know, to my heart. And that actually came to me through spirit talking to me. I had a dream, and it was a very profound dream. It was very detailed. And I awakened and I questioned the dream. And the dream basically painted a picture that my father had been in his family. There had been a lot of incest. And so my father, growing up in an incestuous family, I believe he was afraid. He was surrounded by nothing but women. So there are 7 girls in my family. And I believe that on some levels he was afraid to be around us because he feared doing that to us. And so his departure, you know, was very abrupt. You know, he had other things going on in his life, but I believe the main reason why he left was because of the fear that he would inappropriately touch us. And so when I came to that understanding, I immediately called my mother. We had never had a conversation about this at all. But I knew that it was true. And so I called her and I asked for confirmation. And she told me that was the first time I had ever heard that my paternal family had incest in the family. And that, you know, so that it was validated that, you know, that was a part of his reason for not staying.
Mm-hmm. We still have.
And so that wasn't the answer I was looking for, of course. You know, but there was deep sadness, you know, but at the same time, I thought about the sacrifice of him leaving and, you know, what if he would have stayed? Or what if he would have touched me and my sisters inappropriately and we would have to deal with that? So, you know, not having him in my life definitely created a huge void in my heart. And just being a young girl and not having that daughter-father relationship, it really, really hurt me deeply not to be able to have that. And so as you stated, it definitely showed up in my romantic relationships later as a woman, not being able to have the appropriate blueprint to know a good man and one that would be appropriate, you know, for me as far as loving and kind and just having a really good, healthy relationship. I didn't know what that looked like. And I continue to replicate, you know, the same dynamics within my own family, within the relationships that I attracted until I became conscious and aware through my healing.
We just have about 10 minutes left, and I don't want to end the program without giving people an opportunity to be in contact. Do you have a website, or how would people be in touch with you?
So my website is my name, DeneenJoyner.com.
Yeah, D, we have to spell it out, which is D-N-E-E-N.
It's, yes, D-E-N-E-E-N, and then Joyner, J-O-Y-N-E-R.com. They can also email me at Deneen, D-E-N-E-E-N, at DeneenJoyner.com. So that would be Deneen at DeneenJoyner.com. And then I also have a Facebook group called Chosen to Be Empowered.
Okay. Chosen to Be
Empowered.
I'm writing it down in case someone's to ask me later. Very good. Thank you for that. You write in the book in more than one place about you still are, you're learning. It hasn't ended. And that's true. Once we've formed a relationship with God, there's an active conversation that goes on. And we still have to follow God in terms of what he wants us to do. And one of the revelations is home. Tell us about your revelation regarding home.
Home was what happened to me the day that I awakened and everything came into focus for me as far as my purpose, my holy assignment, the reason, you know, everything occurred the way that it happened. And so it was like somebody took the blinders off of me and everything made sense. It wasn't for nothing. And so I felt a sense of peace. I felt secure and confident. I felt connected to everything and truly, truly connected to God. And ever since then, you know, I've been very excited to be able to be at this place in my life and to be a example of hope that it is possible that you can be in the darkness for decades and you can think that you're only meant to experience pain and that that's your life. And I know that for some people, I was 47 when I started my healing journey. And I hear people tell me all the time that they think it's too late for them. It's never too late. It's never too late. If you're experiencing pain and you know that it's there, it's because it's not supposed to be there. And there is work that needs to be done. And it can be done. And it's time for people to be able to take their life back and to, you know, stop settling for carrying the pain and wearing a mask, because there was a promise that was made to God prior to us even coming here in the form of a soul contract. And that promise has not been fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that, I had made a promise to God and that I had not fulfilled it for quite some time, it made me sad. But it also made me happy the day that I awakened and I arrived at my healing. And I remembered who I am and I know my purpose. And I'm here helping people the way that I know that he intended me to help.
And in order to rediscover my authentic self, you offer these recommendations, something you wrote at 4 o'clock in the morning. Acknowledge my former life and give myself permission to seek something different. Surrender this former life to a higher power by inviting in the divine spirit for guidance. Evoke curiosity to heal and uncover the truth. Become self-aware and remain conscious of your life. Release patterns and responses that no longer serve you. Express daily gratitude for the continuous unfolding journey that will lead to your destiny. Tell us a little bit about how you evoke curiosity to heal and uncover the truth.
For me, I wanted to know how I learned to respond to pain. That was something that had been a question that I posed when I was doing my social work, because I saw different scenarios play out with people. And when I investigated and I did family studies, I started to see that there were similarities in a lot of the people who were adults and the children. And then also the parents, their parents, I started to see subtle similarities in how they responded. And when I say respond, it really wasn't a response at all. It really was void of responding healthily to an emotional, painful event. Most people, when they are exposed to something emotionally painful, because they don't know what to do, they normally will shut down, or they will not acknowledge that something happened or that their feelings have been hurt. And that's because that is what most of us see. I have yet to find someone who can tell me that when something painful happened to them as a child, that, you know, there was someone there who, you know, showed them the way to respond, either encouraged them if they were crying, or, you know, or if they were displeased about something, that they honored that and said, okay, you know, what's wrong? Tell me what's wrong. Usually, you know, what we got was maybe a couple seconds of what's wrong, and then you're on to the next thing. Or some people didn't even get an acknowledgement. So we learned to grin and bear it, is what I'm saying. And that's not the appropriate response, but that's what we were taught. And so I was curious to know how all this began for me. And so that is where my curiosity came into play. And so that curiosity led me a lot of different places, not only just looking at my parents, but it went back to my ancestors. I wanted to know what circumstances were they in? How did they respond? I wanted to see the family tree of emotional pain. I wanted to find out who these people were and what did that have to do with me. Yes. And so if you're able to become curious, not only about the pain, but about your life, I think it's important for people to see how they show up for themselves. And the only way that you can do that is if you are committed to staying conscious, because most people who are in pain have been living on automatic pilot as a coping method to keep yourself numb from feeling and thinking. But if you're on a healing journey to heal the pain, it takes and requires a level of commitment to yourself to stay conscious so that you can become curious and you can do research and explore the things that are going to enlighten you and empower you to undo it so that you can respond differently.
Dean, I need to break in now because our program is coming to an end. Thank you so very much for being with us and for
Thank you for sharing
your story with us. All right. God bless you. You continue your journey. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
So much to say, but so little time to do it. So don't forget how precious life is and how powerful love is. Tell someone now that you love him or her. Pray for peace as if it depended on you alone. And indeed, our story tonight tells us that God depends on us. And come back next Sunday and amplify with us.